Blog Talk Radio.
All that I have in me, for as long as I breathe.
So we are back. Ronaldo, are you with me?
Yo, what up? I'm live. How you doing,
Hey, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. Same old grind. Thank God for another day.
Exactly.
I appreciate the opportunity as well.
Oh, please. And I have to apologize. I've been trying to get with Ronaldo and interview him like forever, just like his song said. So I really appreciate you hanging in there with me and, you know, being patient with me because of my crazy schedule. But that song sounds great. What you got going on? Because I see that you are steady hustling, you steady grinding. Every time I turn around, you're doing something different. So tell us, I mean, Forever, is that one of the new songs or which one is that? Because, I mean, you just have them coming from every which way.
I appreciate it. Forever, actually, I'm going to be honest with you, it's new to the world.
Okay.
I mean, I dropped it on YouTube a couple years ago, but I'm actually about to get ready to re-release it. I got 24,000 views on YouTube. You know, shout out to God for that, for the official video for it. I say, pretty much all my music, you know, it's new to the world because, you know, I had the things I know now, I didn't know then. So what I mean by that, you know, I had to kind of revamp myself to really drop it the right way, not just on Facebook, not just on Instagram, but really market it and promote myself the right way so people know who Ronaldo Price is. You know what I'm saying? But that's a real good record. It's actually one of the first records I ever recorded. That record right there got me a lot of shows. It got me on a lot of tours. It got me a lot of
competition.
You know, because, you know, it's a real ballad. You know, it's a real ballad.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, we don't really kind of have that Teddy P and that Luther Vandross. You know, we don't really have that no more. So I kind of want to bring that back. You know, that real music that a lot of people can relate to. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And, you know, that's what really attracted me to your music, Ronaldo, is when I first saw your first video, and I can't even think of the name of it, but I was like, wow, the lyrics, they're so real, they're down to earth, it's like real R&B. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. I appreciate it.
So, when you write, do you have someone else doing the writing for you?
I actually do write. The only person I've ever had, like, as far as to help on my projects is my producer, Gregory Charlie, out of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't produce for 702, B2K.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with Whitney, with Bon Jovi. So with him, you know, it really was a great experience because, you know, he really instilled in me, like, you know, whatever we write about or whatever we do, we got to write from the heart. You know, we got to write from the heart. And we got to make things happen because that's the only way, you know, people better relate. They only can relate to the real. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
kind
of where the writing ability goes to. You know, my passion always was vocals. But it's kind of like when you get in a studio and you got to have that complete package, you know, you got to be able to do it all. It's always good to, you know, fly in writers and stuff like that. But you got to be able to do it all to really, you know, because you never know. I mean, if you're not willing to do it yourself, it's really and truly not over your project. You got to better know, okay, I really want this. You know, I can do this, but I think she could do it better. So,
you know, you got to
be able to know a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Everything about your craft, right. And, you know, it's funny because even though my daughter's in culinary school, I tell her the same thing. You know, she's like, oh, I don't like doing this part of this and that. I'm like, look, if you want to be the best at what you're going to do, you need to know the ins and outs. You need to know the job that you don't even want to know and want to do just so that when you get to a certain level, you can say, you know, I did that. You know, I did that years ago. I know how to do that. Even though I'm supervising you now, I used to do that job. Just so you can know the ins and outs of everything. And it sounds like you sound like you got that down packed. You know,
in life, you gotta, you know, sometimes you're gonna reach failure before you reach success. And I didn't, I didn't waste a lot of money. I didn't met a lot of people who I thought they really was this person, but they wasn't. So, you know, self is your own teacher, you know, and you gotta realize in life, you know, through rejection comes acceptance. So, you know, with me, it didn't been a lot of hardships, but, you know, I give all glory to God because without Him, you know, I'm nothing, you know. I put Him first, and I feel like whatever I want to do, I'm going to make it happen. You know, I make the impossible possible. I shoot for the stars, especially where I'm from, you know.
Exactly.
I'm black. in a small town, so, you know, I'm a small town, but I got big dreams. You know, I mean, like, everybody know me where I'm at. I've been an American Idol. You know, I can tell them about sleeping on the concrete 2 days without taking a bath or letting your car insurance drop and take the money to do it. I did that. I got a testimony. I got a real testimony.
Right.
You know, I didn't pay my dues, and I'm still paying my dues. But, you know, still looking real, real good. Real good.
That's
right
now. Yeah, I know. Every time I turn around, you somewhere different. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I better hurry up before you forget about the little people. So let me ask you, Ronaldo, how many years have you been singing?
Really and truly, I've been singing since I was about 12. But I really been taking it to the level I've been taking it now for like the last 7-8 years, like, man, I got to get this record deal. I'm trying to be on TV. You know, I just stopped. I watched American Idol when my first son was born. And I told my father, like, man, I'm going. And a lot of people didn't believe me. But when they had auditioned, guess what? I was deaf.
You were there.
I made it to the second round. I slept
2 days
on the concrete. I went a month later. I went to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I took a Greyhound bus for like 3 days. Because, you know, music is really my passion. Like, you know, I live for music every day. Every day I live for music. Like, it's not about the money. You know, it's really what I do. You know, I said, you know, just watching other people and being around my producer, like my life is music, you know. And all the people kind of walk my shoes, it's kind of, that's the only one kind of really, I ain't going to say it can relate, but, you know, if you say something in life and you love it, you got to put your heart behind it, you know. And I grew up in church. I still sing in church. And I started taking about 7 years now, really trying to, you know, get that deal and getting on nationally. And it's been going it's been going pretty good. Really good.
I know, I just want to play a little snippet of this other song that you got, Touch. I'm just going to play it in the background a little. Yeah, because, I mean, when it comes to your music, Ronaldo, I was like, okay, I saw your first video. But I can't figure out which song is my favorite song because all of them are my favorite songs. You know how
you know
listen to like, a lot of people say that.
I'm a be honest with you, and I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it to brag. I'm not just saying it, but a lot of people have told me that like my music. See, when I do my music, I treat every record like a hit. It's like rappers.
Right.
And I shout out rappers. I'm gonna tell you why. Because I've seen somebody do an album. And 2 days, I'm like, man, how y'all do that? Like, when I'm in the studio in Atlanta, it take me like 12, 13 hours to record a record. But, you know, my producer who I recorded with, we built it from the foundation. Like I don't even think about what I'm going through or what's on my spirit. So, it's like, all my records, like, I really put in a lot of time, a lot of sweat, a lot of money in my records. Like my music, even my rough drafts of my music, it sound like it's done. Because, like, I try to put my all behind it. Like that same record you're talking about, Interscope called me about that record. They called me about that record. And they called me about that record a couple of years ago, and they wanted to bring me in as a writer. But the A&R who contacted me, he switched in with the Warner Brothers, and it just kind of went out the window. But, you know, like, I mean, a lot of my records, I didn't have Bad Boy hit me up. You know, I got a few labels and stuff I'm talking with now, like, you know, just grinding.
Wow.
Trying to make stuff happen.
Wow. Let me just let people hear just a little snippet of this, and then I'll ask you some more questions.
Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, it's a rocket, put your feeling. Bottles over there, shorty got the club going crazy, I swear. Gucci, Louis, Prada, BBR, that she rockin'. Bring it over here, girl, ain't no need stopping. Go, girl. Go, girl. It's your birthday.
Now, what I will tell you, Ronaldo, this online radio does not do your music justice at all. Because it does not come through like HD, so people have to like really listen to it on quality to really get the full effect, because it really sounds good.
Right.
Now, you mentioned the producer that you work with. Who are some of the producers that you work with?
My producer who produced my whole project, his name Gregory Charlie. He's in Atlanta. I mean, he used to be signed. I want to say Arista with Sylvia Wrong, with Clive Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't work with 702, with Whitney Houston,
wow.
Tony Braxton, with R.L. Also just got from a good friend of mine by the name of Derek Nelson from Mississippi. You know, so I'm working. I got a lot of good things going on.
Right.
A lot of great people I've been working with. You know, shout out to Denise Keller, you know, John Burke and JB, you know, Woodrow Vaughn, La. Just, you know, a few people I've really been working with on some big things, you know. I can tell you 2017 going to be a crazy year.
Wow,
it's
going to
be a crazy
year,
you know. A lot of stuff we can't just, you know, what can I say, just publicize, I guess. But, you know, I got labels looking. I got situations looking.
Right.
You know, some big things going on. You know, I just thank God for it. And I've been working a long time, though. Like I tell people this year, like if you're in it for the wrong reason, you ain't going to last. Like, you know, your heart got to be right. You know,
exactly.
If your heart ain't right, whatever you're doing, it ain't going to work. Like, you know, you got to do it for the passion, because the money going to come. You know, you got to keep it real with yourself. You know, what you got going on. And I ain't trying to preach. I'm just being honest. Like, that's just a tactic that I go by now.
Yeah, that's
true.
Well, let me just ask you this, because I always ask people this: what type of obstacles did you have to overcome to get where you are, Ronaldo? Because I know you say you've been doing it for years. So, like, what type of things did you have to, you know, get over or, you know, go through in order to be successful?
One of the big things is when you don't know the game, you go by the wrong way.
Right.
A lot of people that we look up to, and I'm not knocking nobody. When you call, when they call, you're really not going to get an answer. It might always be no, but you got to keep pushing. You got to put yourself in that position. You know, like I say, and I also go back to the Bible verse, say, you know, a prophet sometimes has to go outside his hometown to get noticed. You know, I'm from Flagler, Louisiana, a small town, and we all know it's in Atlanta, New York, LA, you know, Florida, stuff like that. So it's kind of like I had to get out of my comfort zone. You know, I had to do things that people thought I wouldn't do. It's kind of like to get where you want to go, you got to go where the people at. Because that's like it's really the only way it's going to work. I mean, I know how it feels to send your music to a record label. I didn't know they ain't take unsolicited material. But I had to, you know, I learned that, you know, reaching out to producers and this and that. Like, dang, man, I can't get this for you. But, you know, I kept on trying. Now I can call almost anybody I want in the industry. Like, my network is real, real big because they realize the purpose. Like, I tell people, like, I might not have no $100,000 budget. I might not have no $50,000 to buy no track. But I guarantee you I'm going to go hard behind this record. Like, I got a million.
Right.
And I guarantee you.
And you put out quality
work with
music.
Me. Yeah, like my music, like, I mean, like I say, I don't work with some big people, like even people like my producer, he mixed my record, recorded it. I have a lot of big guys in New York that mastered my record. I talk about the same people that mastered some of Beyonce and Drake records. It's a lot of names. I even got people from L.A. just reached out to me a couple months ago that worked with Kendrick Lamar, Trey Songz. I was talking about, like, it's a real situation. Like, people just be surprised. Like, even Sean Garrett, you know, I met him last month in Miami for the Revo concert with Diddy. And, you know, everybody knows Sean Garrett got 51 number one records, you know.
Right,
on up a track. You know, but I went to him with confidence, like, man, this is who I am. This is what I'm trying to do. Like, even me, manager, like, I went to him with confidence. I went to even talk with Capitol Records. And it's so crazy because the guy with Capitol Records, he knew my producer real well. He had a group. My producer produced his whole group. So it's kind of
so
big.
It's like a small network. It's a small world, like they say.
You just gotta get it, man. You know, you gotta work backwards. Like, for the hard, man. You know, you got a million people doing what you do, so what makes you different? Like, for me,
exactly.
It's kinda like, you got to grind. Like, you got to put yourself.
You're right, Ronaldo. What I tell people, too, is, you know, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an actual business. You can't just go in there and think everything is just going to fall into your lap. You know how a lot of people think. You actually have to work at it. And like you said, you paid your dues.
Them days over. Like, you know,
yeah,
because you can sing. Just because you can sing or rap, you know, oh, I'm about to get a record deal. Like, they already want you to have a movement. Like I see a lot of artists, like, man, how do you want somebody to give you, put $100,000 behind you, and you don't want to spend $150 on yourself? That ain't going to work.
Exactly.
That'll never work. You know,
true.
They be like, well, man,
mm-hmm.
I ain't got to do this. Well, if you want to make a real life, this is what you got to do. If not, you're going to be in the same position. That's just the way
mm-hmm.
it is. You know, and people just got to realize their rejection. Come accepting.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go hard behind what you know. Because I'm telling you, man, you got to just go to the stars there, man. That's the only way it really going to blow. I mean, it take
mm-hmm.
a long time to really make stuff happen.
It
you don't about it with a bunch of money pushing you. Like, it's okay, what I'm going to do? You got to get in front of that gas station and know one thing. Man, I'm going to make $200 off these CDs every day, 5 days a week. That's $1,000 a week. That's $48,000 a year. You got to know you're going to do that because you can't take no for help. Like I tell them, I do normal taxes. Like, okay, shout out to Media Transfer. You get 1,000
mm-hmm.
CDs for $450. You can
mm-hmm.
sell them for $5, but a lot of people might be like, I don't have $5. If you sell them
mm-hmm.
for $2, that's still $2,000 you done made
mm-hmm.
of a $450.
Mm-hmm.
Don't nobody really back here $1, $2 no more. So if there's 5,000 people coming to Racetrack, a QT in Atlanta every day,
mm-hmm.
you can't tell me you can't get 200 people a day to spend $2 with you.
And trust me, and you can, because I was out there selling my book for $10, and I did it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to be hungry. And a lot of people, like, I tell them, like, Facebook, Instagram, don't get me wrong, it's real creative tools of marketing. We got to go back
mm-hmm.
to what they did 20 years ago. But you got to get in the streets.
Yeah.
You got to get in the hood.
Yeah.
You got to get in the mall. You got to grind.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way, like, and I'll use that way to this day. And I'll never stop using it.
Yeah, me too.
Like, that's how I get
me
my
too.
Fans.
Last times I was out there, I was selling a book at the QT, and a man said, well, how come it's not in the bookstore? I said, my book is in a few different bookstores. He said, well, how come you ain't do no book signing? I said, I've done multiple book signings. Then he, like, look. I said, but look, think about it like this. You wasn't in the bookstore. You didn't see me at my book signing, so that's why you seeing me right now, right here today. He took off. Don't you know he circled back around Ronaldo and bought my book? He thought about it. Because you got to just be in people's face. You got to be in their face and, like, let them know what you got. And like you said, you have to be hungry for it.
Yeah, you gotta warn them. I try to tell a lot of people, man. You know, you just gotta warn them, man. You gotta continue to, you know, keep guard first. And
mm-hmm.
like the guy told me in Miami who worked with Diddy, was like, man, guess what? If they close the door, go through the window. They close the window, come through the floor. Like, you got to do what you gotta do to get
right,
on, man.
Right.
I ain't gonna sit up and tell nobody no lie. Man, it's hard,
mm-hmm.
but it's only hard
it
if
is.
You make it. It's hard if you make
right.
it. And you got to
That's
build
true.
Relationships and treat your relationships right. Because if you don't,
mm-hmm.
that one time you think you're just trying to mess with somebody, it'll ruin your name in the game.
Yeah,
and your name is
will.
All you got.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Yeah. Ronaldo,
you know,
I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight on the Racing Ties Live show. I really thank you and appreciate you spending some time with me.
I appreciate it. It was a pleasure.
I know it took me forever to settle down to one spot and one time, but I really appreciate you spending time with us. Let me ask you this. How can somebody contact you or find out about your date that you're going to be performing or
mm-hmm.
purchase any of your music? We need some contact info.
People could check me out. I mean, I always have stuff on Facebook. And Instagram,
mm-hmm.
my Facebook name is Artist Ronaldo. My Instagram
mm-hmm.
name is Artist Ronaldo. And like with me, probably gonna be surprised when I do this here, but like I really interact with my artists. So like anybody
mm-hmm.
need to get in touch with me, my number 225-436-8975. 225-436-8975. Like I'm hands on 24 hours a day. You need me, I'm coming. Like I'm a true grinder. Like I'm a bring it to
That's
you.
Cool.
So, I don't know. I'm a real one.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So you said
225-236-8975. That's my personal number, like, yeah, features, any connection, any music consulting, anybody I could be to help to anyone. Hey, like, just give me a call. Like, I'm working. Like, I'm a thousand man on. I'm working.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Renaldo. Thank you so much. And I'm going to let them know you spell his name R-E-N-A-L-D-O. Because I
That's
almost
it.
Made a mistake and put a Y in there, but it's R-E-N-A-L-D-O, Renaldo Price. And we're going to go off with Looking for Love, Renaldo. Thank you so much. And I got to have you on again
right
soon,
there.
Okay? I love this
it.
One. I like this one. All right. We'll talk to you soon, Renaldo.
Definitely.
And I think you're gonna like it once I tell you my story. Hey girl, I think you might be the one that I've been waiting on for such a long time. Hey girl, what'd you say if I gave you my phone number? Maybe you can call me up later on. We can talk about, oh, so many things. You can tell me what's on your mind, I can tell you what's on my mind. I'm not trying to pressure you, I just want to get to know you. I'm not trying to waste your time, I just want to make you mine. The way you make me feel is sad, even though I don't know your name. Oh, I'm looking for
love. With a great personality, and boy, I think you got it. Got it. I said, boy, I know you got it, so maybe we can chill for a while. We can leave this club, and I can take you back to my house and show you all the things I like. Baby, what's your sign? Cause you're starting to blow my mind. But that don't mean we got to run. Up in the bed and listen to Miss Baker while I tell you my dreams. You tell me your fears, boy. We gonna be the perfect team.
Thank you, Renaldo, for being a guest tonight. My other guest is the one and only Kelvin Tatchill Harris. Kelvin, are you there? Hey, Kelvin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, I like that Renaldo. They're looking for love. That joint.
Yeah. He got some other songs. I didn't even play all the other ones. I was going to play like a little snippet, but I know we got a few people on the line waiting, so I'm like, I want to get into this and talk about this challenge that you got going on.
Oh, this challenge that we got going on. It was all your idea.
Well, listen.
I got it from you.
But look, okay, let's even though this is your second time on Racine Ties Live, we're just going to back it up a little bit for people who have not heard the first show, and I just want them to have a little bit of background on who you are and what you do before we get into the challenge. So, Kelvin, who is Kelvin Tatchill Harris, and where did he come from, and what does he do?
Yes, I do a lot of stuff. Kelvin Tatchill Harris.
I know. Where do you begin, right?
like whatever. Again, came from Racine, Wisconsin, pursuing a music career. Started off with bass music in Atlanta in 96, a bass legend. Started booking shows for other artists, you know, from Franchise Boys to Jagged Edge to Ace Town, and working with all of the legends and greats. And then I started dabbling in acting and doing some and everything.
And I'm going to ask you to come a little bit, Kelvin, I'm just going to ask you to come a little bit closer to the phone because I don't want to miss anything that you have to say. I want to make sure my audience hears everything you say. So I just want to make sure you're close to the phone a little bit louder. So basically, you got your start in music, right?
Yeah, I had to take my Bluetooth off. Okay.
Oh, much better. Okay, perfect. Okay, so you want to just tell us really quick, you said you got your start in music?
Yeah, I came from Racine, Wisconsin, pursuing my music career in 95. And, you know, with the help of cats like Jerry Smoke and me, DJ Jelly, me and my partner, it was K Chill and Touches, we had a hit record by the next year, 96. So we became ATL legends with the bass music game. And I got into the business side, booking and managing, working with other major groups, you know, some of my favorite groups, like Franchise Boys, Jagged Edge, East Town. And, you know, just started dabbling with acting 2006, off the yard, and been doing it ever since. So
wear
a lot of different hats.
Right. So you've been, you said, in Atlanta from, like, 95, 96?
Yeah, started in 95, so I got 20-plus years in the game. It's an ATL legend.
Yeah. Wow, that is something. I've been down here myself since, like, 92, 93. So you've seen how Atlanta has changed a lot since then, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Big change.
Yeah, and now with that change, we're going to fast forward. With that change comes, like, the city itself changed, and the area and the people and the population. Now, I want everybody to know the name of your organization that you have because you are trying to effectively help the homeless population in Atlanta. So tell us about that, the name of your organization.
Well, Feed the Hungry USA is my nonprofit that I never thought in a million years I would be a founder and CEO of, but as I came into Atlanta in 95 on a Greyhound bus, I was shocked to see a lot of homeless people on the curbs and sidewalks, and I had never seen that in Racine, Wisconsin. So that scared me when I first came into Atlanta because I came here with no family, no friends. I didn't know a soul when I came to Atlanta, and I thought if I fail and don't succeed, can I be out there, you know, can I handle being out there with these people if all else fails? So that scared me enough to motivate me, and God had my back, so luckily I didn't have to be out there. You know, I was willing to face the challenge if all else failed. But because of that, I was inspired, you know, and after seeing so many homeless, I was inspired, and God just put it in my spirit one day and said, you're going to be, you know, a founder of a nonprofit. And, you know, I'm talking to God in my head, like, I don't know nothing about no nonprofit. I ain't got that much money. I don't know what to do. You know, God, I ain't the one for that. I don't know. But he just put it on my spirit, said, just follow my lead, and everything start coming into play. Radio stations, people start coming in. Next thing you know, 4 years later, we going strong, and we've done some, you know, great things with the, you know, aiding the homeless. And you know, the main goal is to try to get people off the street, which is a constant struggle and a battle.
Right. So you said 4 years now? You've been doing this for 4 years, Kelvin?
4 years. 4 years. Bunch one on the fifth year.
Okay. So wait a minute. So what year did you get started exactly?
I started, way back to 2012 or...
Okay,
I think 2012.
Wow. So what was it? I mean, I know you said you saw the homeless people. You heard this. When you first got that in your head, when God told you, okay, this is what you're going to be doing, Kelvin, what was your first step after you made that decision that you're going to do this nonprofit?
Well, my first step was, you know, just kind of telling some people that was around me. And I thought, you know, I think I reached out to V103 and they opened their doors to me and said, come on, you know, we'll give you a slot to speak. And through that, people heard Sheila, my big sis, she heard, she was riding on the train and she heard me talking about it. Of course, I was interviewing. I was putting together a charity concert, so we was all talking about it. I had Franchise Boys up there with me at the station, and people started reaching out to me. My sister Sheila heard me on the train. She said she wanted to be a part. Next thing you know, it's like God said, if you build it, they will come. And everybody started coming and bringing a part. People was bringing, you know, dishes and food and Discount Tire donated, you know, skids of canned goods that we was able to feed the homeless off of, you know, for a long time, just for the, you know, pallets of canned goods, and sponsors start coming in, and everything just fell into place. And I was looking at God,
oh my
gosh, God, you're showing out. You're showing out.
Wow. So tell us, Kelvin, about some of the events that you have done.
Well, I did a charity concert for my first one, and all the artists that I invited to come out, all the ATL legends, you know, from Franchise Boys to Shadi to DJ Taz, everybody, they all showed up. Everybody that said they was coming came, and it was an awesome show. People brought canned goods, clothes. And so we actually was able to, you know, we raised a few little, you know, dollars to get the people some extra things. And every Sunday, 12 noon, we was able to go down to City Hall and feed the homeless like clockwork every Sunday. And every time we pulled up, we was blessing them with toiletries, clothes, water, blankets.
Right.
I mean, it was they knew us. We came with a cavalry, like, you know, four or five cars deep, and
it was just like
a joy. We couldn't wait for Sunday to get here, and that was our church, you know. You know, some people sacrificed not being in church or going to church early or after, but that was my church, ministering to the people, feeding the people.
What street were you on, Calvin?
Right there in front of City Hall. We was always advertising 55 Trinity Ave, but it's actually 68 Mitchell Street, because, you know, City Hall has like four sides because it's sitting in the middle.
Right.
So we always advertise 55 Trinity Ave, but it's actually 68 Mitchell Street is the the entrance to the City Hall location. And that's where all the people would gather, because right across the street they had some kind of church that would feed them at certain times. But, you know, they, I guess, didn't give them too great of a selection of whatever they were feeding them. So they would love to see us pull up, because they know we was coming with that club. Well, they knew we was coming with. I mean, we had Krispy Kreme sponsor. We had that good food. Krispy Kreme would sponsor us, like 500, donuts.
Are you serious?
We would, yes. Krispy Kreme was a sponsor, and they gave us a whole just crate load boxes of donuts, and bro, they got a treat that day.
Oh my gosh!
We would have everything from home cooked meals, pizzas to you name it, pasta, spaghetti. I mean, they ate good with us. So whatever they had, they would push it to the side when they saw us pull up.
Wow.
It was a blessing.
So, Kelvin, after you did that charity concert, that's when you were able to start doing that on a regular basis every Sunday when you got all those sponsors?
No, actually, we started with just serving cups of soup. So we didn't even wait for the sponsors. We just put it together and we were serving cups of soup until the sponsors came in. Then we were able to start, you know, making the soups, bigger soups, or just styrofoam meals or bag lunches. But no, it never did stop. And even though I don't have donors donating to like our GoFundMe page, that never stopped me. It would either come out of pocket, or we would do it as collectively as a unit, as a group. So, you know, not having, you know, a bunch of monetary donation never stopped it. God supplied our needs anyway.
Exactly.
So that's why, you know, we got to go 4 years rain or shine. Even if it rains, whatever, it don't matter. We were there.
Right. And exactly. And just for anyone who's just now tuning in, I'm talking to Kelvin Cachill Harris. He's the founder of FeedTheHungryUSA.org. So, Kelvin, let's fast forward a few years. We are in 2016. Can you tell us what you've been doing recently? or what you plans are.
Yeah, recently, me and my sister, L.A. Pink, we've been, you know, partnering up and pitching in, helping each other with different movements. She's started this great movement called Unity in the Community, which in Renaissance Park, like once a month or twice a month, they would come together with a bunch of different nonprofit organizations because, you know, you know, it's stronger in numbers. So when everybody come together, they can do it bigger. I'm talking about they bring
right.
showers out, the haircuts, you know, the media,
wow.
radio, huge amount of clothes, big amount of food. So they can do it on a real bigger scale. And she's been doing a phenomenal job just, you know,
wow.
bringing the whole city out. So that's what, yeah, she's, I'm so proud of her because she's been taking it to another level. And, you know, because so many people started coming out when I was going out every Sunday, I didn't have to go out as much because some of the Sundays I went out, people, they already had food. So many people had joined the movement that it released me, you know, from having to go every single Sunday. So I kind of fell back and I was watching and we were actually riding around with food and everybody had food. So we couldn't even give our food out at one point.
Well, look,
so
that,
it was
that's
a blessing.
True what they said. You, a lot of hands make the work light. So there you
that's
go.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Wow.
So,
Calvin,
now
that we know a background of, I keep saying Calvin, but it's Kelvin. Kelvin, that's my little Connecticut
Kelvin, there you
accent.
Go.
That's my Connecticut accent. Tell us, what do you have going on right now about, what is this challenge I keep hearing about?
this challenge is, when I saw your post, when you were saying something about the homeless and people, you know, walking by, and it's a shame because Atlanta has too much money for us to have any homeless. With all our money and resources
right,
that Atlanta waste balling out, partying, there should be no homeless on the ground. So when I saw your post, I was inspired, and I commented that I'm going to repost this, and I'm going to issue a challenge for people that just say, they'll be okay, it's not that cold. I wanted to issue a challenge for those who think being homeless is nothing, for them to try it one night to see what their life is like every day for years, you know. And so I'm not no better than them. So I issued the challenge, and I won't ask anybody to do anything that I'm not willing to do. So I put myself out there first, saying I'll be out there if I dare anybody to join me that don't know or don't have a clue what being homeless is. Now, thank God I've never had to be out there, but this is going to be a first experience for me as well. Just to be out there to go through, to walk 1 mile in their shoes, and I guarantee people will have a different appreciation for people being homeless because they've never had to suffer or go through it. And this is going to be a challenge, and it's going to be an awareness, you know, and it's going to educate some people as well.
Exactly. Now, Calvin, I had no idea that, you know, when you read my post, it would even impact anybody like that. For everybody that's not on Facebook, I'm just going to read what I wrote. And then, Calvin, after I finish reading it, I for my own self, I just want to know, like, what your thought process is. So what I posted up the other day was, passed by the homeless population earlier this evening in downtown Atlanta. Most were settled in, already covered, and bundled up in their sleeping quarters. Somebody, please tell me again and help me understand why your church hasn't opened their doors to them. While adjusting our thermostat and watching our favorite TV show, we say, it's not really cold out yet, but try sleeping on concrete. So when you read that, Kelvin, like, what was going through your mind? Like, what? Why did you say, you know, I'm going to do this? What made you think of a challenge?
Because exactly what you said, people are dismissing it like it's not really cold out there. They'll be all right.
Yeah.
Boy, they don't need this, or they don't need that. And so for those people that think that way, I wanted to issue a challenge for those people who have no idea, no clue what it's like for them to be out there. And everybody always dismiss them, oh, they're out there because they're lazy. No, that's not the case.
Yeah.
And
if you
would talk to these people, you will find out that it ain't because they're lazy. There's some people out there that work probably harder than you, but they just had a misfortune in a misstep, and they're out there. So just like you, you made a testimony saying that you were actually in a situation, and it wasn't because you were lazy. You was working 40-plus hours, but it just you were a victim of circumstance, and you just happened to fall upon it yourself. So they can't look at you and say, you was lazy. So why can you why do you look at that man and say he was lazy? Because he's out there. And it's not fair. So that challenge goes out to those people who don't quite have a clue, or maybe if they're curious or want to know or just need to just be able to say you walked a mile in their shoes, you know, staying out there for one night. It'll give you a different perspective and a better appreciation for the people that are out there. Maybe you won't hesitate when you got a dollar or two to give somebody because you've been out there for one night. You know what they go through.
Exactly.
So
and you know, Kelvin,
you know from
talking to me, I posted up something about the homeless. Now, I got a lot of responses. I got some comments, too. Let me see. I'm trying to see if I can pull some up. But long story short, people were, like you said, kind of had a little bit of, it was like a little bit mixed to me because I didn't see like 100%. Yeah, you know, they need help. I got, like, from what I felt was like a mixed reaction. And I think when you pose something like a challenge, when somebody can actually be in those shoes, then there won't be any mixed reaction. You know what I'm saying? They will see that this is real. This is happening in my face, in my city, in my town. This is real. And like you were saying, most people are like a one or two paychecks away from being homeless. You know,
it's a reality.
Like you said, my situation, I was actually working over 40 hours a week. I was a supervisor at a retail location while I was up in Maryland, and I was in a roommate situation. I had to switch roommates. Like, I actually switched roommates. I had three roommates in like less than 2 months because of craziness. I just feel like that. So the final roommate was a much older gentleman who decided he didn't want money for rent. He wanted something else. And when he realized that he was not going to get that, I was like, oh God, what am I going to do? So I went, I was going to school at two different schools at the time and working a job, full-time job. So I went and stayed with someone who I did not even know, Kelvin. It was a classmate. You know, just somebody I talked to on a daily basis at class. But other than that, I didn't know her. She let me stay there for a weekend while I figured out what I was going to do because this person, he actually tried to get physically aggressive with me. So I knew I couldn't stay there. When I came back Monday morning to get my put my kids on the bus, he had packed up all of our items, right down to my bobby pins, my socks, everything, my kids' items, and said, oh, I thought you didn't want to live here anymore. So, stop playing. And then when I said, you know, stop playing. My kids got to go to school, you know, let us in. Oh, no, I thought you really didn't want to live here no more. I looked around. His second car was not there. He had put everything that I owned in a little minivan that he owned at the time and would not tell me the location of it. The authorities had to get involved. But from that point on, I had to miss work that day. My kids had to miss school.
We were
homeless instantly. You know, and I had, I probably had a few dollars in the bank, but not enough to just jump up and say, I want to move here, move there. Because even if I did have, money, what apartment complex is going to say, okay, yeah, move in today. You know, unfortunately, it was about 2 months that every day of those 2 months, I was like, okay, where are we going to sleep tonight? Where are we going to sleep tonight? And, you know, we had the only slept in the car about twice. Thank God. It was, you know, a friend's car we slept in. But other than that, you know, I never had to be literally out there on the street. You know, but I feel like my situation was bad enough that if someone tried to tell me, oh, no, you know, that's just a bad decision they made, or they on drugs, or they just got they schizophrenia. No, every situation is different.
That's what this challenge is about, to bring awareness to those naysayers,
people that's got something negative to say, you know, come out there, be out there for one night just to see, just peek through the window of what it's like for them. Some people have been out there for years. I've talked to professors who were brilliantly smart. I mean, but they just happen to, you know, just have a misfortune and they're out there. People, those people are not all crazy. I'm sure there's some that may have some issues, but everybody's not crazy. You can talk to some of those people, have the most intelligent conversation. They just like me and you. One, you know, somebody, even some people out there working that are homeless, and that's what people don't understand. I didn't know. It was a surprise to me when I was conversating with these people, and the guys was telling, some of the guys, you know, that had jobs, I was bringing, you know, suits and blazers for the people so they can go get interviews and all of this stuff. And if you just talk to these people, you'll be amazed. So the people that are standing around looking and don't know what's really going on, this challenge is for those people so they can get a better understanding and be enlightened on that, just like me and you. I could stand next to some of those people and you wouldn't be able to tell who's homeless. You know, so homelessness don't actually have a face like people think. They think everybody is dirty or whatever. No, totally, you know, surprised just talking to somebody and won't even realize they're homeless because they look just like some of those people.
Exactly. I'll tell you something else too, Kelvin. You know, even though I went through that with my children were much younger at the time. And then, you know, fast forward maybe 8 or 9 years. And, you know, 1 year, my daughter, she's, you know, about to be 20 next month. I mean, in January. But, you know, one time when she was, you know, a teenager, you know how the teenagers go through their little attitudes and stuff like that. So I said, you know what? You have, I think she had about 4 or 5 new pairs of sneakers. I said, you know, you don't need all those. The way you're acting, you don't need those. We're going to find, you know, I didn't want to just drop them off at Goodwill. I didn't want to just give them to Red Cross. I said, we're going to find somewhere. We're going to go to a soup kitchen, and you're going to give your sneakers away. So I went through a few places in Atlanta. Somebody finally got back in touch with me in a couple of days. We made arrangements to go help out on the soup kitchen, and she had her sneakers with her. But you know, at that particular time, no one actually needed those shoes. So it ended up we just started going every Saturday morning to help prepare breakfast for a group of homeless men in a church. And my kids really enjoyed it. And then, you know, we got the chance to meet some of the people and talk to them. And just like you said, you'll never know. These guys have jobs, but they just, you know, had situations. And from there, we were able to go to the women's shelter as well. And these women have children who go to school. No one knows that they're homeless because of, like, different privacy, privacy laws and things like that. So the kids go to school. None of the other kids know that they're homeless, you know. And I was able to see that firsthand. And so I'm just really, you know, passionate about helping other people because, like you said, nobody knows. It could be your coworker. It could be your schoolmate. But they don't have a certain, oh, I'm homeless look. It could be anybody at any time, you know?
Exactly. So. Exactly. What I would like for you to do is if you could pull my sister L.A. Pink in, I think she's on the line. She
definitely
has some great news to share. She has some great news to share that's going to change this whole Atlanta homeless thing.
Yes, definitely.
You can pull her in.
I'm going to mention her after talking a little bit, and I've been running my mouth. So let's go ahead and pull her in. Laquan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you? Unity in the community.
Yay!
Hey.
How are you
doing? How you doing?
I am excellent. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Y'all are too much.
So
I'm supposed to just be listening. Hold up.
I hope you told everybody you're going to be on because I wanted to talk to you and I can't wait to meet you in person, Laquana. Okay, so give us a brief background of
why you started Unity in the Community, and how long ago did you start Unity in the Community?
Okay, so Unity in our Community, ATL, actually is really new. It was Community Compilation, and from Community Compilation, we branched out to start Unity in our Community to branch away from other situations within other organizations. What I had experienced myself was that I became homeless. I was connected to an organization that I was homeless in. And this organization, you know, collects money, collects different things from different places. So when I went to the organization, I asked them, you know, I'm like telling them my situation, you know, I'm homeless, I need a place to stay, you know, did they know of any places or, you know, any kind of funding or anything? No, no, no. And then when they reached out to a couple of people, which was just people of people, you know, of their friends still, you know, had experienced other things to not give a place to stay. However the case may be, to sum it up, I was homeless with the organization, still homeless, you know, and
okay.
So God began
so
to feel.
I want to just make sure everybody understands, Laquana. So you went to an organization that was actually
was
supposed
connected.
To help you. Oh, you were connected.
I was connected. I was the youth director of the organization. I was the youth director, co-director, excuse me, youth co-director of the organization that I was connected with. And as I became homeless within the organization, I went to the organization letting them know what my situation was. Now, we're out here feeding the homeless, helping the homeless and all of that, but that's when God started to put the light on, like, there's no resources. You know, we're basically just,
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but this sounds too much like somebody I talked to today. You were solo, or did you have anybody with you at the time?
No, it's just me. God brought me all out here by myself.
This is so
I have no
similar.
Family,
okay.
Had no, like I said, no family, no friends, no doors open, but God.
Right.
So he began to position me because he's like, just stay still, because, you know, something like that will kind of discourage you and you'd be like, you know,
exactly.
I really just don't want to be connected. He said, no, stay in position. Just position. That's that battle. That's when he says the battle is not yours, it's mine. Position yourself, stand still, so you can see the salvation of the Lord. So this is the position. So he started positioning me. As he positioned me, he said, continue to do my work. So as I continue to do his work, he started giving me vision. Okay, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. This is how I want you to design it. This is who I want you to connect to. So as I begin to do that, I begin to just set a platform, and I begin to connect organizations. I started to reach out to organizations, pulling them into the movement. He said, you know, this is what he placed on me, movement. This is a movement.
It's right. And I want people to know exactly what you were doing. So were you, like, out feeding people? Like, I want them to know exactly what you were doing when
so
you say you
positioned.
So
what we were doing at the time with Community Compilation, it was several different organizations, which none of them were being acknowledged at this particular time with Community Compilation. It was just one particular organization getting all the credit for the work of several others. So
like,
as I began to watch.
What were they doing?
They were all out feeding the homeless.
Oh,
so they were
getting
clothes, shoes, toiletries. I mean, you had everything out there, you know, as far as the clothing part and the food and the toiletries. They were bringing it together. So then nobody was getting credit, though, but one particular organization. Like now, what we do, like how my brother pushed me, I push him, we push you, we push each other, because it's unity, you know. Everybody has their own thing that they're doing, but there was no unity in it. It was just all giving credit to one particular organization, which they're getting all this funding, but they're not giving a hand back.
Oh,
so they were
goodness.
Being a hand out, but not a hand up. Not only just the community, but to the organizations as well. Because what we're doing right now is that we're building
we're structuring in the structure out. How can you have a foundation? We're trying to set it up so that our organizations that don't have 501c3s come in, we be able to establish somebody in there that helps them get their 501c3s, that helps them get established in their organization if they have a vision, you know, to start.
Right.
So it's just not for us to go out here and help the homeless. It's for us to help one another as well,
exactly.
You know, because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
If we can't stand strong with one another to say, hey, okay, well, once you're falling, I can say, hey, let's go into the pocket and let's go and get money to help so-and-so's organization pay their bills, pay their rent, get them to make sure that they're coming out here to be successful, strong, you know.
Right.
So that's the
and
whole
I'm
a, plan
I'm gonna,
of.
I'm just going to break in here because I want to go slow so people understand exactly what you do. So let's fast forward to when you decided to do your own organization, Unity in the Community. About how many years ago was that?
No, it's just recent, just in July.
Oh.
Just July.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Fresh
Are
up
you
off
serious?
The. Yes. Yes,
that
just in July.
Wonderful.
We started Unity in our community. Now, I have been attached to, you know,
other
feeding and doing all that. Yeah.
Right.
All,
right.
We've been connected and doing all this for 9 months. But Unity in our community. Me just saying, hey, no, God said Unity in our community, ATL. We just literally branched into that just in July. That's when Unity
so
in our community was birthed.
Okay, so what specifically is Unity in our community? And what does, if somebody goes to you, what services, rather, can they specifically request or get assistance with?
So we
I
have
know
pulled
you
on WellCare.
I'm sorry.
We have pulled on WellCare. We have pulled on Job Corps. We have pulled on, we have Talk Girls Talk that helps them get their birth certificates, social security cards, helps them get the paperwork, the documentation. Let me get that clear.
Mm-hmm.
They help with documentations, getting documentations to get your birth certificate, social security card, and any other kind of identification to help you, you know, get your food stamps, get your Section 8 or anything that you need for government assistance. They help with that.
It's difficult for some people.
Yes, a lot of them they don't have the proper identification to get even a job, you know, or to cash a check or to, you know, so they're subject to.
Right, and I just want to interject right there, Laquana, because, you know, a lot of times I've hear, oh, well, they need to get a job and they need this and that, but they don't understand. For some people,
they
it's
don't
hard
have the,
to get documentation.
Yeah.
Their correct ID, their birth certificate, or whatever they need to get a job that's, you know, a legitimate job. So it's it's not always as easy as somebody thinks. Oh, they just need to get a job. That's not always the case. See, you got to start at point A before you get to B, C, and D. You know what I mean? So you're saying that you actually help them to on that very basic level to get what they need to even get a job.
Right. Right.
Wow.
That's what Talk Girl Talk is an organization that has come in and partnered up with Unity in our community. Everybody does something different. Everybody holds their own weight. Everybody, we give knowledge to every organization that comes on board and joins because it's a movement. It's a movement for God.
Okay.
Because
right.
I have to get instructions from him in order what to do. Trust me, I talk to my brother all the time. He helps me with a lot of things that God is pouring into the both of us that we, you know, we collectively agree with and make happen, you know, period. That's what we
make
do.
It materialize.
This is he's my person.
Well,
and, you know, you
this.
Always have to have accountability partner. He's the
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Let me ask you this, Laquana. Okay, you said that you do all these things. Are there any services that you, how can I say this? Who can go to you? Who is eligible to use your services? And is there a fee for any of the services?
So, no, we don't have any fees. We don't have any, we're not, as far as what are you saying? It's like WellCare or you talk about FaithLink, any of those organizations,
I mean,
the people that have teamed up with us?
Well, no, anything that you
they don't have to pay for any
like,
of
say,
that.
Okay, that's all I want to know. So they don't have to pay
nothing
for any
that
of
we're doing. Nothing is costly. No, everything is sent by God and blessed. We have chefs that just come on board. We have two chefs actually that will be cooking for this next event for us, which is nothing but a blessing from God, you know, because, like I said, food is great. Clothes is wonderful, but I'm more concerned with the resources. How can we get them their proper resource information, their proper identification to get them to the next level, and that's up off the street. Because, like I said, a lot of them get checks. They get checks, SSI checks. They get all these different things. But if they're in the shelter gets it to the shelter, and they can cash it for them. So they don't know where their money is being distributed to. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, okay,
so
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Oh, yeah. At Pine Street, they take it all. They take with ID or without ID, which that's the reason why that's the biggest shelter in Atlanta, Georgia, but it's the worst shelter in Atlanta, Georgia, because they will take in anybody without an ID or anything. And with that, if you're getting a check, you know, you could get that check right there at that, and they're distributing it out the way that it's going to be given to you because they get it first.
It's a lot of
highs and lows.
Yeah. Laquana, how do you, what can you tell me what your, like a weekly or a daily schedule is like for you as far as when you're doing it? I know that was going to be a doozy, but like how do you go about, you know, determining who you're going to help today or like what your agenda is? You know what I'm saying?
My first thing is I ask God because I work for him. That's my first job. You know, I work for him, and he gives me instructions, and I know that some people, they like, okay, but we're for real. I stand on the word of God when he says, seek me first. And so everything that that I do, I have to get instructions by him to do. Just like the other day, and if you go on my page, we did a testimony with a lady, and I know I don't always do testimonies because I talk to them daily, but for her, I wasn't even intending on going down there. God said, no, go. And so I just was like, okay, I'll just go check on her. I didn't even know what I was going down there for because nobody had called me. I had went down there the day before and had taken a gentleman to get his identification.
Where is she at? A shelter?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Was she at a shelter?
He's at a shelter. Right there, the Pine Street shelter. So went down there to get him, to take him to get his identification. And but so the next day, I had to already make a run down there. I really didn't have no reason to be but to check on him. So I just went down there just to check. And lo and behold, I pull up, and Miss Frieda comes up to me, which I pray with her several different times at several of our events that we've been to. Even that Sunday, I just had poured into her that Sunday. And so she comes up to me and she was like, you know, can you take me to get me something to eat? And so I was like, yeah, come on. So I was taking her to get her something to eat, but in the process of it, she was telling me that, you know, her Section 8 cannot, you know, she gets some money too for her Section 8 came through for her. And so I was whoa.
Wow,
what?
That's
just
great.
She said, I was number 19 and now I'm number one. She said, I've been waiting for 2 years for my Section 8 to come through. She said, and it's just come. She said, and I was sitting here meditating, asking God, how am I going to get there? You have now given me this, but how now am I going to get there? Am I going to walk, and how long is that going to take me? All of this. So just $2 to get on the bus, $2.50, whatever it costs to get on the bus. That's all. She said, but I was just sitting here saying, God, how am I going to get there? She said, and you pull up.
So basically, you just did what you felt God told you to do, and it ended up that she needed you anyways.
She needed me anyway.
Wow.
She needed me anyways.
Wow.
So that's just how he works.
Right. So let me ask you this, because I know I accepted the challenge, and you accepted the challenge too.
Oh, yeah.
What? So are you ready? Because I'm ready.
Well, see, the thing about it is that when I'm out there with them, I hug on them, I love on them, I sit with them. So this is nothing for me. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing for me.
Exactly.
And even when my bro even put the challenge up, anything that he do, I don't care if he say we going to go up and sleep up under a car.
Yep.
You know what? We up under that car.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
You
I don't care what he say. Come on. And that's me. You know, that's me. Once I'm rolling with you, there ain't too much you can't get me to do unless it's against the grace of God. You can't get me to go against him. But other than that, if you talking about going out here saving some lives, helping some lives, changing some lives, touching some hands, I'm with it. We going to do it.
That's all you
and I'm going to go all in with you. You know, you ain't got to say nothing else.
Right.
When he put up the challenge for us to do the Hades, you know, we jumped right on that. You know, I brought water, anything.
Yeah.
And
I love
like
it.
I
yeah.
said, right now, even with everybody sharing their testimonies, I wasn't even, I'm still not in position to do everything God is calling me to do, but he positioned me to be in position.
Right.
You
to
see what I'm
ready.
Saying?
Yeah.
So I don't think about nothing that I'm going through or nothing that's happening.
Right.
As my bro, I wake up every day
just
and I'm talking the same way I'm talking right now. And it ain't fronting. It's for real by trusting and believing because I stand on that scripture. I could do all things through Christ that give me strength. Because see, when I look at the strength that he had when he fell with that cross, but he got back up and through the beating, through the thorns in his head, he didn't stop. That's the kind of I can do all through Christ. He's giving me strength because I see that's the strength I see and that's the strength I want to be. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I don't play with this. I don't take it for granted at all. When somebody called me out on something, I can jump on it because my heart is on it. My heart is on it.
Now,
I work for
LaQuana.
God.
Yes, I feel you 100%. Now, let me ask you, because just like you heard me talking with Kelvin, how do you feel when, you know, other people have, like, you know, like I said, I got some mixed feedback. So what are your thoughts on that when, you know, you're telling people, oh, you know, you help the homeless and you do this and you do that, and you get mixed feedback, oh, girl, they lazy, or girl, they just drug addicts, or girl, they just want a handout. What do you say to that?
What I would say to that, because we are not the judge, you know, and he say, you know, sin bigger than another sin, and then he says that love covers a multitude of sin. So if I'm out here and I'm just showing, because we're images, we ambassadors of the Most High. You know, we that's what he said, oh, you were made in my image. So we made in his image, and he said he is of love. We are not to look at nobody and judge them. You know what I'm saying? That's just
right
now.
Right.
If somebody judged me by my situation, then you don't even know. You don't know what I go through. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what is going on in my life that caused me to be in the position that I'm in, or anything with anybody that we come across. And it's so funny that you asked me that, because they just on Monday asked me that same question, like, how can you, everybody judges us because, you know, there is some transvestites, they're gay, they're dealing with all kinds of different things out there, you know, but he said, why don't you judge us? Because a lot of people that come out here, they don't want to touch us, they don't talk to us, they come out here to feed us, but that's a publicity stunt. And he said, but we don't get that from you. We feel your heart. You come love on us, you come talk to us, you come sit down with us, you know, you come get us. I pick them up, I take them where they gotta go, you know what I'm saying? But the reason why is because I'm covered. I'm covered in the blood, and I work for God. So when I go to him and I say, Father, what do you want me to do? Because trust me, I can't help everybody. Like I said, I'm not here to save the world. I'm here to help the hands that he instructs me to help. Because see, if you're not getting instructions by him, you're out of order. You're out of order, period. That's just like right now with what we about to do. If I hadn't went to him first before I even accepted Chill's assignment, because this is something that I already wanted to do. So if I wouldn't have went to him first, I couldn't even accepted it, though. You see what I'm saying? But I have to go to him first. But it's done with people that I know love me and I love them. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And we are after the same thing. We're both, me, you, Chill, especially my bro, because I really don't know you, but I know I see your heart and I see what you just jumped on. You know what I'm saying? So you with us.
Yeah.
And once anything that's connected to him, I connect it to me. You know what I'm saying? So once we do that, and God say it's a go. It's a go.
Right.
It's a go. Like we there.
You are so right. You're so right. I want to thank you so much for joining me, LaQuana. I want everybody
thank
to have
you
your contact information.
Me.
How can someone get in touch with you?
LaQuana L.A. Pink Alexander on Facebook. I have several different pages, so I'm going to just leave them with that one. We got Unity
okay.
in our community, ATL, which they can find us there as well. I post
okay,
all
Unity
of our logos.
Okay, Unity in our community? Okay.
Yes,
Unity
in
our
community, ATL.
Okay. All right. Thank you, LaQuana, so much. I can't,
no, thank
I can't
you
wait
guys
to
for having me. You too. I can't wait either.
Now, I'm going to say goodnight to you, and then I'm just going to get some little information from Kelvin so we
okay.
can close out the show. But thank you, and I look forward to seeing you very, very soon.
Pleasure. I can't wait.
Have a good night.
Thank you guys
okay.
so very much. Good night.
Yep. Wow, I can't wait to meet her, Kelvin.
Oh, yeah, you're going to love her. Everybody do.
What's that?
I said, you're going to love her. Everybody love her. She's a sweetheart.
Right, right. She sounds like she is doing so much. I actually saw that video that she was talking about. So, I know she's a blessing to everybody. I know it, you know, just from
oh, yes.
that one
yes.
little video, you know. So basically, I just wanted to get the information for the challenge. I want everybody to have that information. So you want to give them some information about Friday, November 25th?
Yeah, so Friday, November 25th, 7 p.m., we're all going to meet down there, and we will be set up with a feeding assembly line, and we're going to be serving dinner. As well
mm-hmm.
as having guest speakers come doing motivational speaking. And, we'll just take some Q&A, talk to the people, educate them, minister, pray with them, all of that. And so throughout the night, we are just going to be one big family, you know, that whole night.
Mm-hmm.
And I got
okay.
Cody Weaver coming down from South Carolina.
And I hate to break in, Kelvin, but I just want to make sure everybody hears you good. And it sounds like you're chopping up just a little bit.
Okay. How about
okay.
now? Do I sound? Am I better?
Yeah. Okay, so you said
okay.
it's going to be a feeding assembly line, and we're going to have some speakers,
yeah.
motivational speakers.
Uh-huh.
And what else
are we going to do? People
mm-hmm.
are going to bring clothes, blankets, you know, toiletries, all of that stuff. So we're going to have the stuff. We're going to disperse it out. And while we're eating, hearing some nice motivational speaking, we're just going to,
mm-hmm.
you know, just bond and be family that night. And like I said, my fam, Cody Weaver, is coming down from Thune, South Carolina. That is
wait,
love.
You, okay. You must have
you,
your Bluetooth
you can,
in.
No, I took it off.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you said Cody is coming from South Carolina. I can't wait to meet
yeah.
Cody.
And it's awesome, and I think she's listening now. But when I was down there, she was carrying a score, and then she was.
Wait,
I didn't know she had.
Okay. I'm not sure what happened, Kelvin. But I want to make sure everybody hears you. Hello.
How about now?
Yeah. It's like really echoey or something, but. I wanted to make sure you said everybody is going to, there's going to be a feeding assembly line. We're going to have motivational speakers, clothes. You said somebody's even traveling from South Carolina. Wow.
Yeah, Cody Weaver. Yeah. And she's
wow.
done a lot of great things in her city as well. She takes care of the community with her store. She let kids come in and just free stuff. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Andy, I saw this with my own eyes, and I was like, That's God's right there. Yeah, we got a lot of people coming in, and I see you've been going real hard with social media, and people are jumping on the challenge. And even if they don't, we're still going to do it and we'll make history with it.
Right, right. Okay. So I just want to make sure everybody gets the information again. It's Friday, November 25th. That is Black Friday. Okay, so we
Black
don't
Friday.
Care about the shopping and all that. We're going to, you know, the thing about it, Kelvin, is just like I was telling you, everybody, you know, I don't expect
a lot of my friends or anybody I know to jump up and say, oh, yeah, I want to do that. You know why? Because it's the holidays. It's most likely going to be cold out there in 2 more weeks. It's going to be uncomfortable, you know, trying to stay out there all night long. You're going to be spending time with your friends and family, you know, watching holiday movies all cozy up in the house. But that's exactly my point, is that the homeless people, they don't have all those options to do that or to make those choices. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So that's right. Why we're saying, look, walk a mile in their shoes just to see what they're going through. And it is, yes, on the holiday. But, hey, you know, it doesn't matter if it's on the holiday or not. That's the reality of it. So
right.
I'll be out there with you. Laquan is going to be out there with you. I know that a couple of my friends said that they're going to take the challenge. And I do have to talk to you, some more people. I have some friends in Virginia who were calling down here to Atlanta to make sure that other people were getting involved. So I'm like, you know, thank goodness the word is getting out. And, you know, we just want to bring awareness to the situation, you know, about what's going on. But I'm saying kudos to you for just even coming up with such a challenge, Kelvin.
No problem.
Yeah.
Somebody got to do something. If not us, who? If not now, then when?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And just like I told you.
I thank you for making that post. You inspired me.
Well, hey, you know, I was just looking at what was on my heart and my mind, and I think I told you, I'm not sure if I mentioned, I was sitting at the stoplight, and I saw a man get up off the concrete, took the cardboard off of himself, and got ready for the day. But earlier that morning, I had the option of getting in my hot shower, you know, taking my time, picking out my clothes, getting dressed. You know, and then what really got me is I was sitting at the stoplight and I turned the heat up just a little bit because it was like a little chilly that morning, Kelvin. And then as soon as I did that, it was right by the underground. As soon as I did that, I turned to my left and here goes this guy. He's pulling cardboard off of him. So I'm like, you know, I'm up here. I got the luxury of touching a button in my car and, you know, he's waking up literally laying on the ground. So it's like, you know, it's sobering. It's a sobering reality.
Exactly.
You know,
my goal is to, you know, be able to get some people off the street and hear them give a testimony of how we help them off the street.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and I can't wait for that. So now, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Kelvin, and assist you, like what you're currently doing, even up until that point of the Homeless for a Night Challenge or the Black Friday Sleep Out Challenge, how can they get in contact with you?
They can either go through social media, Facebook, email, or even my number. I'm the founder of a nonprofit, so I have to deal directly with people. So, you know, I take serious, you know, inquiries only, missed calls, not just, you know, for lollygagging or whatever, but, you know, my email, social media, inbox, I'm accessible. People can always get to me. It's Kelvin T. Chill Harris on Facebook for those not on social media. And the email is Kelvin, KelvinWHarris@gmail.com. You know, inquire, send some information, and we can also connect numbers that way as well.
Okay, I'm going to repeat that because you're still coming in like a little warbled sounding. So it's Kelvin W. Harris, did you say?
Kelvin W. Harris@gmail.com,
and you can get in touch with him that way. And then on social media, it's also Kelvin K. Chill Harris.
That's right.
Okay, cool. And now, if somebody wants to participate in the challenge, Kelvin, what do you tell them? What do you say to them if they want to participate in that sleep out challenge on Black Friday?
I will tell them, come on down, like the price is right.
Right, right. And,
7 p.m.,
you know,
we're going to be there.
Right.
And, you know, it, the funny thing is, when somebody said, well, what are you going to eat and what you going to sleep in and this and that. And I said, you know what, that's exactly the point. We're going to sleep out, and that's what homeless people have to deal with every day is wondering what they're going to, you know, where they're going to sleep and what they're going to eat. So, hey, that's exactly the point right there, you know.
Exactly. No luxuries down there. So, you know, forget all the luxuries. They don't have the bathroom, shower. They don't have none of those luxuries. So we're going to walk a mile in their shoes. We're going to walk a mile in their shoes.
Right. Yeah. And I like I said, I definitely have to talk to you about some, people that want to be involved. We have people that are volunteering their services, professional people and businesses and entrepreneurs that want to volunteer their services as well. So the word is getting out there. So
well, that's good. Ping didn't get to mention there's a big project we're working on where housing is going to be funded by a major situation here. So we'll get more into detail with that.
Oh, wow.
And she didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, she didn't let out the bag, but it's something that's in the works right now. A guy got his hand on it, so we'll keep you posted.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, definitely. We'll have to have you on again before the sleep out challenge. We'll have to have you on again and just get updated and let everybody know what's going on with that and, you know, up until that point. But
oh, yeah,
I want to thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to thank you so much, Kelvin, for coming on again. I don't care if we got to have you on every day, every week, or whatever. We going to get something, you know, let people know what's going on and let people know what you're doing. So just like I told somebody, you've been doing your thing. You and Pink both.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know?
Definitely,
so,
yeah. And thank you for helping us be a voice. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Oh, definitely. You know, just like I said, whatever you need, I'm there. I'm put my name down. I am there. So, but we
awesome.
Will, I want to say thanks so much, Kelvin, for coming through. And like I said, we'll keep everybody updated. You can reach out to Kelvin at KelvinWHarris@gmail.com, or you can find him on social media under Kelvin K. Chill Harris.
That's right.
Thanks, Kelvin, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, you have a great night, and we got work
too.
To do. Let's go. Okay,
Ed, let's
night.
Go. Let's get it. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight on Racine Ties Live. My special guest, Ronaldo, I want to thank him for coming on. I want to thank Laquana of Unity in the Community. And last but definitely not least, Mr. Kelvin W. Harris, also known as Kelvin K. Chill Harris. He's got that Black Friday Sleep Out Challenge or that Homeless for One Night Challenge. That is the Friday, November 25th at 7 p.m. We are looking for volunteers. Like Kelvin said, he's going to have a feeding assembly line. He's going to have motivational speakers. We're going to give clothes away, blankets, whatever you can donate. That's what we want, and it's going specifically to the homeless. I want to thank Maxine Jones, formerly of In Vogue, for giving me this platform to have the show, the Racine Ties Live show, and the Conversations with a Black Man, so that I can just put that out there. Check me out at my website, thinkblessed.com. That's thinkblessed.com. And you can see everything that I got going on, that I do have going on. Also, check my book out, Success Looks Good on Me. You can find that at Barnes & Noble online or Amazon.com online. But thank you so much for joining me, and everybody have a good night. Check me out next time on Racine Ties Live.